You know, today I just wanted to remind you that we serve a God who is unlimited. We know that he is our creator. We know that he loves us. And I just want to read Psalm 139:14 from 1 to 14. And this is what God has done for us. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me even when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say, even before I say it. You go before the blessing upon my head. Such knowledge too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, and if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become. I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Do we all recognize today that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? That God has made each and every one of us a plan and a purpose for us. And yet, how big God is, he wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. But he wants to bring a restoration in our lives because some of us do not understand that God actually loves us and that he cares for us. We look at our past and we say, well, I've done terrible things and God, he can't help me. But I'm saying to you today, God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And his love will never die towards you. As I was speaking from Psalm 39, it's recognizing that he is our creator. He is the one who made us. He knows our inward parts. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. He knows our future. But why do we find it so difficult to go to him? Why do we find it so difficult to ask him things? When we know that he is a God, that son, to die for us. And on the cross he said, it is finished. It is finished. They can be reconnected to me now. But yet, we find it difficult to connect to our Father God. Yet, we find it difficult to look to him. The question here this morning, I want to ask you, why? Why do we find it difficult? Why? Is it because we feel we're not worthy? Is it because we think whatever sin, or is it we can't forgive ourselves? Are we feeling that God has forgotten us and he can't help us? Because what we have done. Today, I want to encourage you that we have a God. He doesn't care what you've done in the past. He loves you because he knows you. He created you. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he loves you. And also, the most important thing, in order for you to connect with others in relationship, you first have to connect with him. He has to come first, and then everything else will fall into place. We all know that when we come to Christ, we are a new creation. But do we actually believe that we are? Or do we still operate in the old man? Do we allow our old thinking to come into our Christian walk? Or do we allow the word of God to come and change our mindsets? I throw out to you all. Esther, the first slide. Okay, in order for us to reconnect to God, in Matthew 22, it says, and 34, it says, Jesus said, this is what Jesus said. He said, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, yourself. And a lot of times we will quote that scripture. We say, oh, we must love God. We must keep the commandments. But we forget the fact that it says equally, what is important that we need to love ourselves. And then we can love our neighbor, because we have to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we cannot do that in a correct way if we don't understand how to love. And if we don't even love ourselves, it's very difficult to love someone else. It is a tall order. Now, as you can see with this diagram, it just helps us to look at ourselves. As you can see, the top, it says, the things I know and the things they know. It says, the things you don't know and the things they know. So it's a blind spot to us of the things we don't know about ourselves. But people can see what we're like, but we don't see what we're like. This is a Jehiel window of how a human being operates. And there are things that people don't know about us, but we know about ourselves. But we put up a facade. We put up an image to say, yeah, I'm fine, everything's great. But deep down, things are not great. Deep down, you haven't got enough money. You don't know how you're going to get home. You're not being honest. But people see that image outside to say everything's going well, but you know it's not going well. And then there is a part that is unknown. There is a part within inside of us. There are things going on, but we don't even know. And we don't understand. But let me say to you today, there is a God here that is in relationship with each and every one of us. And he's the one that can show us the areas that we don't know and the areas that we don't understand. You know the part where it talks about the things I know and the things they know? That goes by how we look, our appearances. People look at us and they judge us. And then the blind spot is, this is the blind spot here. You're walking around, you're saying hi to everybody, but unconsciously you're giving out hints. But this hint only comes to the discerning. Because the discerning person will pick up your body language. The discerning person will say, she's not the same today. There's something wrong. The discerning person will pick up your sarcastic terms, because sometimes we do have sarcastic terms. We come out with things, and then afterwards we say, I'm only joking. But that's something deep down what's going on. Discerning ones will see that and understand what's going on. So therefore, we need to recognize our blind spots. We need to know what's going on inside of us. And especially when we come up with those sarcastic moments and say, I'm only joking, but really you're hurting the other individual and you're not showing them the love of God. And you cover it up with a joke. And then there is the unknown area to yourself. And thank God we have the Holy Spirit. Thank God that the Holy Spirit and those relationships that has hurt us, maybe in our childhood, and the situations that have occurred with our parents or with broken relationships or in our jobs, how we've been treated, those hidden areas that we just brush over and say, oh, it doesn't matter, when it really does matter. And those areas in our childhood where we have been hurt, maybe abused, we've just said, it's okay now, I'm older, I can cope. And we just leave it. But the Holy Spirit wants the hidden parts. The Holy Spirit, he wants to build us up from within. But we need to be reconnected to Father God in order for that work to be done in us, in order for God to move in us. And how is that achieved? How is it? The Word of God is a mirror. And a lot of times we have the Word of God, but we don't even read it. We just throw it in the corner somewhere. But yet the Word of God will connect us to God. It will connect us. The Word of God will show us how to live. The Word of God will speak truth in those inward parts, what we don't understand. Like Shola was saying, how she was praying for a friend, and God gave her a scripture to encourage that friend. That is how the Word of God works. But we have to read the Word of God in order for it to be instilled in us, in order for it to work in us. Esther, if you could move to the next slide. Next slide. And as I was saying, in James 1 and 22 to 24, it says that we are to be doers of the word and not only hearers. Otherwise, we're going to be deceiving ourselves. So if we leave the word of God on a shelf somewhere and we don't even read it, what are we doing? We are actually deceiving ourselves. And we are missing out on a fantastic relationship with God. In order for God to heal us, in order for God to hear, who hears the word but does not carry it out, is like a man who looks at the mirror. And after observing himself, he goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. We don't want to be in that position. We want to be more than conquerors. We want to be mighty. We want to be great. But we have to keep on looking in the mirror. You can't find it. That's it. We have to look in the mirror. We need to change. Because it's only meditating on the Word of God will cause us all to change. You know, there was something the Holy Spirit was saying to me today, and he said, this needs to be dealt with. This needs to be dealt with for all of us. And none of us is exempt. None of us. David was a man that was after God's own heart, and he had a great relationship with God. But if you consider that, who was the author of it? David. Out of David's relationship with him, he wrote the book of Psalms. He wrote all those ideas that we today can stand on the word of God and be encouraged. David was a man who learned to encourage himself in the Lord. But also, he was a man that was honest. When he had sinned, he said, God, help me. And sometimes we find it difficult to ask God for help. We go to our friends. We go everywhere else except for God. Why is that? When he should be the first port of call. He should be the one that mind with everything. But then we will go to our friends and not go to him or his word, which is the mirror. We need to establish that. But the main thing is that when we are going through things, we need to learn to be honest. Because a lot of us are very good in that Jehovah window, in operating in that facade, even towards God, that we hide. We don't want to speak to God. We don't want to deal with the issues. Yet we say we do, but on the other hand, we don't. Why is that? When God loves us so much, and he says everything in his word, how much he loves us, but we don't receive it for some reason. Why don't we? There are some areas in our lives that can cause us not to receive the word of God. And today the Holy Spirit said, I should instruct you to deal with this issue. And all of us go through it. And you know what the word is? The word is offense. Offense. We can be offended 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 times a day. We can be offended by God. Wants us to act with offense. He wants us to walk offense free. You know, in the prayer, it says, the Lord's Prayer, it says, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive them. The key word is forgiveness. And some of us yet find it hard to forgive. But yet that is the key to break open, to have that true relationship with God. But yet we still walk in offense. If you could, Esther, the next slide. Right, offense comes. We all have a choice how we choose to act. We can choose to hold forgiveness. So every day we're carrying around these situations, what people have done, and we can't let it go. Or we choose to let that offense go, and then we operate in forgiveness, and then we have that freedom and that liberty. But I'm just showing you how powerful offense can operate in our lives and what it brings as well. When we have offense, it brings members, families. It brings unforgiveness. It brings bitterness. It brings division. All these attitudes will settle as strongholds in our lives if we let it. And then what happens is we start walking around with all these things in our mind. Such and such did this, such and such did that, such and such hurt me, such and such treated me badly. And all these things, all these words will be your inward chatter, and it will wrap round you like a mummy. you'll be sort of wrapped in this swaddling cough of offense. And you can't get free. This position. When the word of God is preached, when you read the word of God, if you could move the slide up, Esther. Move it up again. This is what happens. You don't see the word of God in a healthy way. As I can say here, that the offended person who is offended and the forgiving person have two different eyes to the word of God. The offended person will be deceived. The forgiving person will receive the truth of the word in the word to back up why they are offended. The forgiving person will see insight. The offended person will see a corrupt version of the word of God. The forgiving person will see an incorruptible seed of the word of God. The offended person will see misunderstanding. And that's not only from the word of God, but they will be misunderstanding in relationships. Because anytime when somebody talks to them, they say, "What did you mean? Did you say that? What do you mean?" So they're ready to argue. They're ready to jump at you. And you're thinking, whoa. Misunderstanding will come to them with relationships. And that breaks down relationships. And I'm saying to you today that God is saying that we need to grow up and learn not to be offended, because these are the things that start coming into our lives. And it will hinder us in all our relationships, whether we like it or not. And to the person who's forgiving, they will receive wisdom and clarity. And even in the relationships they're in, they won't be quick to be offended. They'll be quick to listen. "Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I understand now." So they'll receive clarity very quickly. And then the end result of the offended person is that wherever they go, they're going to bring division. Because they will start dividing up groups. They'll start saying, "This person did this, that person did that, that person did this, that person did that." And before you know it, there is a camp of different people being offended. It spreads like wildfire. It spreads like a cancer. And we need to stamp it out. Amen? But for the forgiving person, what comes is unity. So we have to be careful that when offense comes, the Bible says we should guard our hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. If we allow our hearts to be open to offense, then we will start operating like the offended person, being in deception, distortion, corruption, misunderstanding, and the end result is division. Where division comes, you can't talk with your brother or your sister. You can't love. You're in a position like a mummy, all wrapped up with offense. And nobody can come close to you because you're like a prickly hedgehog. That when people touch you, it's like, ugh! And like going back to that Jehovah window, you're not aware of it because it's a blind spot to you. But other people are aware of it. But there is a way out. And the Bible instructs us what to do. And this is the best instruction that we can receive. It says in Matthew 5:23-20, has something against you. Before you even give your offering, you should go and sort it out with that brother. Or that sister. How much times do we do that? We don't. And you know why that happens. When you have an unforgiving heart towards that individual, the enemy will bring fear into your mind and say, "No, you don't need to go to that person. You don't need to forgive them. And the offense inside of you is built up so much that a fear will come. That even though in your heart you really want to go to that individual and talk to them, better to say, don't bother. It's not worth it. And also, when you go to that individual, what are they going to say to you? Are they going to be upset with you when you say, look, I'm really sorry. I'm just asking for forgiveness for the way I've treated you. Or if they have done something to you, you're saying about a month ago, you did X, Y, Z, and Z. The fear will come in for you not to be honest. But God wants us to be honest. He wants us to be open in our relationships, because that is part of loving our brothers. But some of us do find it difficult to forgive ourselves. And God is saying today, you need to come to him. And whatever you have done, it does not matter, because he will forgive you. I remember I was at work, and this chap, I was talking to him, and I said, God, I need to witness to him. Could you just allow him to come in my office? And when he came into my office, I said, oh, I know you're going, but there's something I need to say to you. I need to say to you that God loves you. And she started crying. He said, how can you say that? How can you say that God loves me when all the things I've done, all the bad things I've done, I don't even talk to my brother now because of the things I've done. How can you say that? And I said, well, God is telling me to tell you that he loves you. And today I'm telling you, whatever you've done, God loves you. And his love will never die. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And you need to receive it. You need to accept it. In order for him to work in those inward parts in your life. We can hear the word of God, but we still can harden our hearts and say, you know what? Nah, this is not for me. I'm not interested because that brother did this and that sister did that. So why should I forgive them? Because they're going to get away with it now, aren't they? But no, they don't get away with anything. But the thing is, you're trapped in a prison. You're the one who's not getting away. You're the one who's in a prison because you're not forgiving. And you've allowed that offense to come upon your life and change you, so that people can't have relationship of who you are, really are, until you give that area over to God. A lot of us want to walk in denial, but God is saying, stand up. Stand up today. Stand up and say, it's me. It's me. I just want to share with you, there's this lady who, her life became so isolated that she ended up not going out anywhere. She didn't go out with her friends. She didn't even go to church. She was offended with what her brothers and sisters had done to her in the church that she was attending. So she decided, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to meet anybody. I don't want to be offended. I don't want anyone to come into my life and hurt me, because those people have really hurt me and I don't want to be near to anyone. That was her decision. And from the day she did that, she opened the door to the enemy. And we don't realize that we can open the door to the enemy to start bringing strongholds in our lives, to reinforce that thought, that feeling that we feel when that person offended us. Come on, let me step in and break that. Come on, forgive them. Let me break it today over your life. But you have to be willing. This woman, she was fighting God. She fought him for over 5 years. So 5 years of her life, she was isolated. She stayed at home. She didn't allow anyone to see her because she was offended. Then suddenly, what did she do? She said, God, I'm fed up. I'm tired. I have no friends. My family. And then as soon as she said that she was tired, she said, God, help me. What happened? God stepped in and helped her. She had a dream. And in that dream, there was big black bags with loads of rubbish in the bag. And the Lord was speaking to her. This is where he was dealing with her inward part and speaking to her, saying, you need to clear all those rubbish. You need to clear the offense. And then she got a tape in the post. And in that tape, it was talking about forgiveness. So God had a place where she would forgive. And then she automatically said, God, I surrender all. And then that offense was broken and friendships started to occur in her life. And I'm saying to you today that God knows where we're at. God knows what's going on the inside, even though we're showing we're good, we're great from the outside. He knows what's going on in the inside. And he wants to heal you today. He wants to do that work today. We can't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ fully and in an unlimited way if we keep offense. We can't walk in connection with him in the way we need to, and that our prayers will be answered and that blessings will come. I remember myself, I was going through a situation where somebody had hurt me, several people had hurt me, and I said, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I was in the book of Ruth where you had Naomi, and Naomi became bitter, and then she said, call me Mara. I was walking around like a Mara, being bitter. And it wasn't until I came to a place where I said, God, I need your help. Help me today. And God worked out that I was able to go and get some counseling at this place. And the thing was, this place doesn't usually do counseling. But because I was willing, honest and open and humble, I said, God, I need help. He helped me. They got in contact with me and they said, we've got, and God worked it out that in that week, I was able to have the time off work. Everything was prepared and I was able to go for that counseling. And I came back like a new person. I know what it's like to be offended. I know what it's like to be prickly. I know what it's like when somebody says, why did you say that? And I'm saying to you today, the Lord is here to do a healing. The Lord is here to do a work. Some of us in our childhoods, our parents have hurt them. My parents have hurt me. It wasn't until even last year, Mum was sick in hospital. That's when something broke inside of me, that a compassion just came from nowhere. Even all the years that she had hurt me and the things that she had done, I had to forgive her. And all that time I was harboring that unforgiveness. And I said, God, help me to love her. I forgave her, but I was still kind of harboring those little things there. But it wasn't until she was in hospital that something broke inside of me. And I was able to pray for her with fervence in order for her to get saved. And I'm saying to you, some of you, God wants to do great and mighty offense because of the unforgiveness. He can't work with you. That's how strong it is. And today I'm saying to you, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Because God wants to do a work. He wants to heal you. And you know, another thing is that he wants us to come to a place that our relationship with him is so tight, that our connection with him is so tight, that we will read our first port of call, that the word will come first in our lives, that any time when something happens, you know what will come to us? The word of God. It won't be what we think. The word of God will be our default setting. The word of God will come to us automatically because those areas of our lives will be dealt with, that we've allowed them to go in the hands of God rather than try and keep them and manage them. And it doesn't work. It does not work. We want to come to a place where we can step up higher. That £100, £800, we can say, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. We will not fater, that we will not faint. We will not think, oh, what's going on, and start complaining. But we will lift our hands up to the Lord and we will worship him and say, God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly, more than I can ask or think possible, according to your power that worketh within me. When we are accused at work, when somebody says you've stolen something or they accuse you of something, you can stand on the word of Proverbs 10. Walk in integrity and I walk securely because I know that my God watches my back because I am doing the right thing and he will vindicate me. He will show them that they're in the wrong and I'm in the right. We can stand on the word of God. And also, when your name is called for redundancy and they say that, I'm sorry, you have no job. Next week, you got to go. What do? You say, Romans 8, 28. And I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and whom are called according to his purpose. You know that God is going to work. You know that the Redeemer lives and he's going to help you and he's going to aid you. You know that we serve a good God and he never fails us. Even though his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but he knows what he's doing in our lives. He wants us to come to a place where we can say, you know what? Whatever happens, come what may, I can stand upon the word of God. I know that my God is able. I know that my God will help me. All of you here have got testimonies. That's why you're here. Of what God has done for you. You know that God will never fail. But there is this area that the Lord wants to deal with today. There is this area that God wants us to arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord is upon us. Esther, could you bring the next slide, please? He wants us to rise and shine. Next slide. That's it. And when we look in the mirror, we might feel small and insignificant. But when we look in the mirror of the word of God, we become mighty. We become great in his kingdom. And the relationships that we will have will be unlimited with joy. They will be unlimited with peace. They will be unlimited in our connection because we are connected to the Lord. If we allow God to move in our lives and we allow the mirror of the word to become a part of our lives daily, then we will see ourselves and we will become like a tiger. A tiger. And we will have a roar. Because when we speak the word, changes will occur. Now, I want you to rise up in the name of Jesus and start believing today that God is going to do that work in your life.